As we listen to Lamentations this morning, we hear what Jeremiah has been fearful of for weeks as we have listened, or perhaps more truthfully, tried not to listen to Jeremiah. He hasn't been a cheery guy, after all. And it has all come true for those of you who thought he was just sort of grumpy and dyspeptic or something like that. The king has been blinded. The rulers have been marched out of Jerusalem. The priests and those who serve in the temple alongside them. Jerusalem is in ruins, the temple destroyed. Jeremiah was right. And the people who are left behind understand what the author of Lamentations is saying when they write, "The majesty of Zion, of this land we love, has departed. Our hope is gone. What will happen to us now? Horrible days have come." No good is left here for us. The best and the brightest of our country, of our people, have been taken away from us. What do we do? Well, if Lamentations is sort of the cry of the people left in Jerusalem, our psalm is in many ways the cry of the people who are taken away from them. "By the waters of Babylon we sat down and wept. How are we to sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" See, back then, it was literally inconceivable that you could worship a god outside of that god's space, outside of their land. To be taken away from God's land, from Israel, from Jerusalem, was to be taken away from God. Despite, you know, all of the years of history of God saying, "I'm with you wherever you are, I can take you through the passages." They'd been taken away from their land and from their God. They'd been asked to live in a land with foreign gods and strange people. As a minority and the lower class, where they used to be the ruling class. Grief is the appropriate response. Not understanding how to build a life in this land is what people do when something like this happens. And so we have this psalm of consternation and confusion, because they are humans. And we read it and we wonder why it found its way into our Bible, because certainly there are better things to say to God than this. Except, the truth is, the people who wrote this knew what horrible days were, because they are in the middle of them too. And the truth is, we know what that is like, because none of us have to look very far to either find them or remember them. Whether it's strange and mysterious medical things, the death of loved ones, jobs that were scarce or overly challenging, or just downright horrible, times when we were hungry and had too little, or the evening you had to turn the news off because the pictures of people who were suffering and were hungry were too much. even when our own lives are mostly in order, the reality of our community and our world and our nation is that somewhere, somebody else's life is not in order. 2 weeks ago, we had Julie Flynn here to talk about how many children were without decent shelter in January, here in our own community. And the statistic mirrored that of our nation. We do know better than anywhere else in our country. 25% of those without a home are children, which meant that in January, in the middle of our winter, which is not friendly, about 23 children were sleeping outdoors. Horrible days exist. It is not hard to look for that evidence in our own lives or in the lives of those around us. And there is little comfort today in Lamentations or in our psalm about that. There is solidarity. These people too know what it is to be in the middle of a horrible time. And our tradition remembers that horrible times happen to faithful people. But to find hope, we read against this other text, and we hear in the gospel Jesus saying, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, move, and it will move. Great and fun sermons have been written about the size of mustard seeds and the size of mulberry trees and what this means. But I have to tell you, Jesus isn't talking about mustard seeds, mulberry trees, or what these two things mean in comparison. Although they do make the great hollow crosses with the mustard seed inside, those are very cute and fun. Jesus is talking about faith in the midst of impossibility. Jesus is saying, after all, what are the odds of the mulberry tree moving spontaneously compared to faithful people rebuilding a ruined city? Which will happen? If you have faith, which will happen? The mulberry tree moving spontaneously at your command, or faithful people in a new city building a new life, as strange and as foreign as it will be? Which will happen? If you have faith, which will happen? The mulberry tree moving spontaneously, or a community of people much like us, banding together so that the hard and the difficult and the grievous and the sorrowful is suddenly not faced alone and the joyous is celebrated together? Which will happen first? Jesus is saying, if you have faith, which will happen first? The tree moving on its own, or faithful people around the world reaching out so that those who are thirsty and hungry and in need have food and water and shelter and medical care. Which will happen first? Jesus is talking about the act of faith in the face of impossibility. Although, when you are talking about faith, I would keep an eye out for trees that might start moving. Amen.